Welcome back to the Story Table Podcast. Today's episode is really, I went back and so I've been listening to these. We've recorded several now. Mm-hmm.
We're pros.
We're a professional. Yeah. I mean, we're professional podcasters at this point.
Yeah, there will be another podcast on how to start a podcast. So
yes, we should do a course, become millionaires. Yeah. It'll be awesome. So I did it was officially episode one.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, this is episode five, what was episode one, two, three, and four? Episode one was kind of a why we're doing this. So today's episode is really a continuation of that conversation because initially it wasn't a conversation. It was just me talking for about 2 minutes. And then I ran out of things to say. And I said, you know what? We should have this be an actual discussion between Sarah and I because, number one, she has a lot of wisdom that she brings to this.
Yes, I do.
Much funnier than I am. Much more professional. And when I'm by myself, it was just 2.5 minutes. It was really short. And,
but it was good.
It
you
was
wrapped it
good
up
and
nicely.
To the point.
Yes.
If you haven't already listened to episode 2, 3, and 4, it's just to kind of get to know us. And then we had a really great conversation with our friend Jana, who is doing some amazing things with Scarlet Road. Great organization. You should check that out. But today we're going to keep talking about why in the world we're doing this crazy podcast, because I actually had a conversation. I haven't told you about this yet. We had a really cool Thanksgiving dinner a couple weeks ago. So as we mentioned, we're originally from Charlotte, living here in Seattle now for the past 5 years. And we typically don't get to make it back home for Thanksgiving. And so the first few years we were here, people were always so gracious to invite us into their home. And so we kind of wanted to do the same thing, invite a bunch of different people in the community to come have dinner with us. It was a blast. We were actually talking a little bit with some people sitting at our table about podcasts that we're doing. And they're like, that sounds really great. I don't completely get it, but tell me a little bit more. So I said, you know what? We should talk more about this. So that's what today's about. And so I would love, I know you mentioned when I kind of talked to you about why you're doing this. And you said, well, number one, because I just didn't want to say no, because I'm a 2 Enneagram, which I appreciate that.
Yep.
But you also mentioned like really believing in kind of the vision that we have for this. And you got to listen because you've already told me you're not going to listen to these episodes, right?
Correct.
because your voice is
like a man's,
like a man, which I don't agree with.
Like a man.
But
like a man.
So I just made Sarah listen to the episode that we that I recorded on episode one.
Because it was just your voice.
It was just me. Yeah. So why don't you kind of share a little bit more, too, about why you think what we want to see happen in this is important. And then we'll kind of have more of a dialogue about it.
Yeah, I think what we've talked about is not only bringing community together, but breaking down the barriers mm-hmm. for conversation and really making, like you said in that clip, making everyone feel welcome at the table,
mm-hmm.
Which sounds easy to do, but, you know, there are a lot of jokes about being the mean girl or being, but in reality, you know, we do so many things subconsciously or unconsciously, whichever one of those words, that, mm-hmm. you know, we just don't even realize we're doing, even with our body language or how we respond to people who have had traumatic pasts or, you know, are dealing with something currently because we're uncomfortable. So our reactions then dictate how they react to us, and then the conversation is shut down. Mm-hmm. And we may not even mean to be doing that. So I think too, having certain biases or stereotypes or our own experience that have dictated how we view others can also mm-hmm. cause us to react a certain way when, you know, someone brings up, you know, I have struggled with alcoholism or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then our reaction might be from our past experience or a negative one and not, you know, really taking the time to listen or make a bridge connection mm-hmm. with that person.
Yeah, that's so, so good. Because and I think one of the things that I've tried to communicate in this, and I don't want, my really heart behind this podcast is not to be this big religious thing, you know. Not hiding the fact that I've worked in ministry for most of my life, been a pastor, a worship leader, preacher, the whole thing. And I obviously believe the Bible and kind of what scripture says and believe in Jesus and don't want to pretend anything different than that. But I also, because I've worked in ministry for a long time, I've seen like the good, bad, and the ugly that comes with that. And
yep.
And living here in Seattle, in the Northwest, it's very different than living in the Bible Belt in the South.
Yep.
You know, growing up there, for the most part, people believe, they go to church, they believe in a higher power. They may not practice faith 7 days a week, but there's not like any kind of pushback. For the most part. Now, in Charlotte specifically, there's a little bit more of that. It's become a more progressive city. And so it's not as much that today as it was even 5-10 years ago. But then moving here into the Northwest, seeing how people of faith specifically are received, part of the problem is how that Christians react to things, how Christians treat people. You hear so often people say, you know, I'm all for like Jesus. I'm not for the people who follow him kind of thing.
Hypocrites.
And being kind of outside of, working in a church for the past couple years and really spending that time observing things. Some of the observations that I've made have been, I see why the people feel the way they do, because often we who profess to be Christians aren't necessarily modeling what it means to be a Christian, to love God and love people. And that's the charge. And so my real heart for this was to say, hey, I want to have conversations with people. I want to hear your story. I want to hear where you come from, because your story matters. It means something. It shapes who you are and kind of how you have gotten to this point in your life. And mm-hmm. whether it's good, bad, ugly, trauma, successes, failures, whatever it might be, giving space to really listen. You know, I mentioned in the first episode that I've been watching the impeachment hearings. Mm-hmm. Have you watched any of this mess?
No.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't really even know it was happening until I just don't pay a lot of attention. I'm kind of over it, you know? And we were home one day and I don't even know why. I think we just turned the TV on I do know why. We were going to watch something else and it had been like preempted, or they were showing the impeachment hearings instead. I'm like, oh, like
that's happening.
Interesting. Like that didn't come through my Twitter feed. I must not really be interested in politics, right?
I didn't see that on Instagram.
And so we started watching. We probably had it on for like 30, 45 minutes. And number one, I didn't know what was happening. I'm like, I don't know like who that is. Are these the good guys? Are these the bad guys? They all seem pretty disgusting to me, you know? And it was just a whole lot of like yelling back and forth. some actual like
yelling,
real yelling. Yeah. And then sometimes just this very
snide.
Yeah. Snide comments back and forth. And the more that I watch, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of gross, but it's also just a microcosm of like the world that we all see that every day. I've seen it in schools, in churches. You see that kind of behavior all the time, because I need to prove my point.
Yep.
I need to stand on the mountain and shout like, this is the way, this is the right thing, as opposed to like what the Bible teaches specifically in James, where it says like, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And if you look around, everything is the opposite of that. We're very quick to snap to judgment, quick to speak, don't really listen a lot, kind of shut our ears and just yell and get really worked up while we're yelling. And it's like, I think the author John or James of that verse, I think he understood that that's the complete opposite of how we're wired. We're wired to like react and get mm-hmm. angry and frustrated and not listen.
Yeah.
And so I felt this real need to create a space, to create an environment where people could hear from real everyday people who may believe like them, maybe they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But just to hear where they've been, where they've come from, mm-hmm. where they're going, how they kind of got here. Because it does, it creates a new sense of awareness and understanding of, you know, why you think a certain way.
Yeah.
And not trying to change perspectives, but just to listen.
Just to listen. You know?
So that's kind of my 3-minute version of why we're doing it. But Maybe do you have some kind of like real life examples where you've kind of seen this play out?
You know, I love that because I think too, what you were saying about everyone has these opinions. Yeah. You see that a lot on Facebook, obviously.
Oh my gosh.
And I can't. Everyone has an opinion, right? And yeah. they yell it loud and proud. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes down to walking next to your friend or not even a friend, maybe yeah. someone that you know who is going through something, like maybe people have an opinion about, well, I remember when we did foster care, uh-huh. you know, we were foster parents yeah. and so many people wanted to help, but they wanted to help in their way, mm-hmm. which is fine if that's your thing. Like yeah. if you knit hats and you want to, you know, give us hats for the foster baby, that's yeah. great. Like do your thing. But sometimes that's not always what the person actually needs mm-hmm. and how they need to be loved or, you know, helped.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but people will post on Facebook their views, this and that. But then when it comes down to it, you know, are you loving that person right. the way they need to be loved? Or, yeah. you know, maybe that's just listening to them.
Yeah.
I do have a couple examples just of like times when my bias or not bias, I guess mm-hmm. my stereotype maybe has been totally shattered. And we've all had those moments. Yeah. But I do remember one time, and I'm a fairly young parent. I mean, I'm not older.
You're not old like me having babies at 41. 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yep. I do remember it was me and my friend, and we were at the play area in the mall. And, you know, all the parents bring their kids yes. there. And
we passed by that the other day, and I was like,
it's a germ infested.
We're going to have to do
cesspool.
That again. Are you kidding
yes.
me?
Yeah,
it was a traumatic experience. Anyway, traumatic. Sorry, go ahead.
Do we need to talk about this?
Yes, please.
How did you feel?
Very angry.
We should do a segment on older parents.
Yes, yes.
Actually, so we saw this quite older woman. Uh-huh. I mean, grandma.
Yeah.
You know, and we weren't even trying to be rude at all. And my mm-hmm. friend actually, we were just trying to make conversation with her, and we were like, oh, is that your grandbaby?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. It's like
that's
asking
gonna happen
someone
to me.
No.
The gray and the
it's
beard.
It's like asking someone if they're pregnant when they're not.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't
big
do
mistake.
That.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that your
life lesson?
Your grandkid? So now, well, so she was actually like, no. And we were like, oh, shit. Oh, shoot. And she did a pause. I'm sure she got it all the time. And then mm-hmm. she said, actually, he's my son. And we were like, oh, oh,
oh,
oh. No, she was oh. very old. Okay, she was old. She was a grandma. Mm-hmm. It turns out mm-hmm. that she has had 20 kids.
Oh,
get this.
Wow.
Her first, I believe, two kids were biological. One or two kids, biological.
Okay.
The next 18 kids
dang.
Were adopted.
Wow.
Because her husband, if I remember correctly, he worked at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he worked maybe in the NICU or something where he had access or could see, you know, babies being born who yeah. were left at the hospital.
Whoa.
And so he would adopt the babies.
Wow, that's yeah. amazing.
And anyways, I remember yeah. totally being blown away because you had no idea. You're just thinking,
yeah,
grandma's watching
grandma's
the baby,
hanging out.
Like
at the mall.
Right. And man, that I just remember like, okay, yeah. no more assumptions. Like that
yeah.
is, whew. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing, but also
sure.
like, okay, Sarah, like,
eye-opening too.
Eye-opening.
Know, which that happens when you get embarrassed
right.
often.
And not, yeah. I mean, it could have been worse, like, yeah. but,
could have been.
And she was a grandma actually. So we weren't far off.
Yes.
But she did have grandkids.
The youngest, you didn't expect the youngest of 20.
Right. No. And they sent them all through private school. I mean, she was
wow.
amazing. She
yeah.
was, it was really cool.
So she didn't hold it against you. You had like a conversation.
Right. We had a conversation.
Cool.
We
like,
were,
bye.
Yeah, no, yeah. We were like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What? But as you know, I work at a homeless shelter,
mm-hmm.
and one of the interview questions was, how would I be able to relate to people experiencing homelessness? Because as you know from our previous podcast,
mm-hmm.
with the prostitution,
yes,
the term is
woman who's been prostituted.
Woman who's been prostituted.
I listened back. I got it wrong like four times. but I'm learning.
Yes.
And that's good.
So it's people experiencing homelessness.
Yeah. Okay.
Is the term.
Is
so
the
anyways,
right term. Hey.
Right.
Say that one more time so everybody
people
hears it.
People experiencing homelessness.
So not just, hey, there's the homeless dude.
Right.
But people who are experiencing mm-hmm. homelessness.
Right.
That's good.
So anyways, my goal though, and what my answer was in my interview, which I try to do this in real life, is try to find a connecting point, right, with anyone mm-hmm. that you meet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember the first night I worked there, someone was going into labor, and I was like, I got it. Like, I was counting with her. I was doing her contractions.
Good for you. I would not have been okay.
But you would have found, I'm sure you would have
a
found
different
a different.
Yes.
You would have been like, mm-hmm. are you good? I'll
you good?
Go get you
Let's
snacks.
Go find someone.
Like, I don't
you
know.
Need some Cheetos?
Cheetos?
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm your guy.
I got you.
I got you. But there was actually a recent story, I think I can share this, of a guest
mm-hmm.
at our place, and she, poor thing, was sick, so she was like, can you look in my mouth?
Mm.
And she was like, I was like, I see stuff, maybe could be strep, I don't know, mm-hmm. and she's like, it could be an STD.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, could you be. Know, and I was like, you know, I've felt that fear.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like, you can always find, instead of that judgment
yeah.
of like, why are you in this position, why are you homeless
so
and
gross.
Having a baby
right.
or what's wrong with you
mm-hmm.
you know, finding a place to connect with them and share with them,
yeah,
you know, they everyone has their their stories, and you never know too mm-hmm. like, honestly, some of these people I work with they really surprise you. I mean, it's sad to say, kind of embarrassing actually, but some of the jobs that they have held, I mean, they've had
yeah.
owned houses. It's not
right.
It's not what you think. Most mm-hmm. of them do have jobs. But yeah, it's definitely, I had a lot of stereotypes going in myself
yeah.
and I work in that space. So mm-hmm. it was, yeah, it's humbling.
It's so easy to do, you know, and I think, I've learned that I say I think a lot. So I've been listening back to these episodes
oh.
and I'm going to do like a I think counter at some point. Like, okay, I said that too many times. And I also say like a lot. But there's something special about empathy. You know, I think it changes your perspective so much. You know, we've talked about a few different things. And as you were talking about that, I thought about, you know, I lost my job a couple years, you know, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we went through like some ups and downs with that. And some really cool things happened out of that. Some really hard things happened. And we also went through that time where it's like, you know, we had to go to the food bank a couple times. Mm-hmm. Like, funds are tight
yeah.
and we don't have enough money
yeah.
to buy like some groceries.
Yep.
And I remember the first day that I went to the food bank. I wear mm-hmm. hats a lot. Just because I don't feel like fixing my hair. But I had my hat pulled down as far as it would
Aww.
Go. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Just slouching, kind of like cover my eyes. And it's like they can, you can see that this is me.
yeah. I'm Someone comes up right behind you. Daniel?
But it's more of like,
yeah.
I don't want to see you. you know,
yeah.
I don't want to make eye contact.
Yeah.
I just want to sit here.
Did you feel shame or embarrassment or what?
All of that.
Yeah.
I felt shame. I felt embarrassment. I felt like I had hit rock bottom,
yeah.
you know, although, you know, there's so much more that
right.
people experience than that. But in that moment, I just felt this. And then I see someone I know.
Oh, you did?
Volunteering.
Oh. Sorry, I know that's not funny. Yet.
It's totally funny and totally awful. You know, and this is a person that I used to go to church with, so they know about the situation. And
but you never told me this.
No, I don't. I haven't told really anybody this except for
oh,
Melinda.
Wait, you know, way to be vulnerable, Daniel.
Yes,
way to be a leader in our podcast.
That's what this is
that's
for.
What you're
and
here
I,
for.
I remember sitting there, like filling out the paperwork, and like, this is awful.
You had to fill out paperwork?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
geez.
Basically, like, you know, how many people are
oh,
in your house?
Oh, just they wanted to keep track, yeah.
Make sure you don't, you know, take advantage of the system, maybe. I don't know.
don't eat too much bread. Yeah.
Stay potatoes for
low
you.
Carb. Yeah.
Only meat.
That's one too many bag of Cheetos, sir. Yes.
You cannot have no that many Cheetos. Bags of Cheetos. Put the Doritos down. Yeah.
But I eat them with others.
But I felt all of that. I felt.
Sorry, I just picked my zit.
So. Oh, that's disgusting. I felt shame, felt embarrassed, yeah. Felt like. But it did. It gave me this new sense of empathy. Like, there are people who, I mean, this is their experience. This is like, I mean, okay, I'm trying to have a very serious conversation, and Sarah's picking her zit, and then
bleeding.
And now it's bleeding. She's looking at her phone, like trying to see what's up. It's real.
No,
it's okay.
I'm crying in pain with you. Actually, uh-huh. You know what? I was looking up the definition of empathy actually mm-hmm. today, oh, weirdly wow. enough. It has nothing to do with yeah. this. Yeah. And I saw that empathy had more, was feeling the other person's pain or mm-hmm. happiness or joy. But compassion was when you took action from that and did something.
Yeah.
With that.
Right.
I don't know if that's true, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that sounds good. It makes sense. It makes sense to me.
That
because,
sounds good.
Because, yeah, there was a sense of, like, I feel what these people are feeling. And I shouldn't even say these people. Like, these are my people.
Yeah.
Y'all my people, yeah. You know? We're here in this
yeah.
together.
Yep.
But then, yeah, like, actually taking action. Yeah, I felt, like, what it feels like to be here and to be in that spot, but to really understand what it feels like, but then how do you put that into action to mm-hmm. whether it's making a difference in someone's life or saying, hey, like, I'm here with you, like, it's all right, we're in yeah. this together, you know?
So it can easily turn into a defensive thing where it's like, whoa, 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 you aren't my people, or like, this
totally.
Is, I'm only here because
well, my
of
first
X,
feeling
y,
was
Z.
I don't belong here.
Yep.
I'm like, well, you kind of do.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Your bank account says otherwise.
Yeah.
Your employment status says otherwise.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. So it was a level playing field.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you got there.
And it's easy to, saying all that to say, like, it's easy to, like, have an understanding for where someone's been. Because there is then a sense of understanding. Why do you feel this way? Whether
yeah.
it's like, for me, there was a lot of bitterness in that moment. Like,
yep.
I can't believe I'm in this position, you know, that I have to do this because of X, Y, and Z,
yep.
what's happened to me. And then you kind of play that victim card a little bit.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, looking at it and saying, hey, this is the reality of the situation. But now I have more understanding, more compassion. Okay, how can we as a community, like, do a better job of reaching out to people? Mm-hmm. And helping them, because we all have been in these moments of, you know, things are great, things are tough. So anyway,
yeah.
That's.
Well, so I don't know if you know this, but I am taking courses in trauma-informed care and then so much good stuff in there. But one of the things which totally supports what we kind of see already, mm-hmm. but there's actual data to back this up, is that generationally speaking, trauma that is not resolved is passed down from generation to generation, and it can take three generations
wow.
to remove, because each time that person is then creating their own family, dealing with their own trauma, mm-hmm. parenting out of that trauma, you know, making snap parenting choices or
right.
just parenting out of an angry place because they were parent, you know, they had trauma mm-hmm. in their life, and it's passed down through generation. Then, you know, the next generation is reaping being parented out of a
right.
traumatic person dealing a trauma and so mm-hmm. forth and so on. I don't want to say excuses certain behaviors. However, mm-hmm. it explains so much, and it just makes you realize how little we know about someone's history. And even that person may not know what their grandfather went through, you know, that
yeah.
was passed down through generations. And, you know, he's, you know, this adult now is trying to deal with the trauma that's been passed down and, you know,
right.
parent or live even out of that. So it's just really interesting because you see this kind of stuff and you kind of make your own conclusions, like, oh, yeah, that would make sense. But to have actual statistics backing it up right. was like, oh, okay.
So true. Yeah. So good. That's really good.
Really interesting.
I think to what you said there about making excuses versus like kind of giving under, I think that's a really important thing to mention, because there's so many times where it's like, I don't want to make excuse for like my behavior or what I've done, but to give explanation of why. Like those are two very different things to say, okay, this is why this happened. You know, I've had a lot of discussions about that in my past about like, hey, I'm not excusing like what I did here in this moment. Let me give you some perspective on how I got here.
Yeah.
And then like we can work through like why you got there.
Yeah.
And that really is my heart for this, mm-hmm. because every person has a story. They have some sort of some level of trauma, whether it's to the highest that's almost unimaginable,
right?
Or just some basic things that happen that do create like trauma, whether it's your experience in relationships, whether it's in a church setting, a school mm-hmm. setting, a work setting, whatever it might be. Yep. We all have had those moments, and it shapes who we are. It shapes, it shapes how we parent. It shapes how we interact with our spouses, how we interact with our friends,
all how we view things, the world,
how you view the
and
world,
others. Yeah.
And so instead of, again, sitting on some high horse saying like, this is what I believe and this is why you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, my real heart, and I appreciate you kind of joining me for this, and just our vision being like, that's cool. Like, you're still welcome
that's
at the
cool?
table.
No.
Like, you're welcome
that's
at
cool,
the table.
You're a murderer. No. No, I would like to hear, actually. I love reading biographies.
Right. Well, it's because it does. It
gives you a perspective.
It doesn't excuse anything.
No.
Like,
no.
You have no right to kill someone.
No.
But like, what are the things that happen in your life to kind of lead you to these choices and to lead you to this
yeah,
moment?
What happened? Yeah.
What happened in your life? Again, it doesn't excuse it, but it gives understanding. And I think the same thing applies with, like you said, how we see the world, how we view things. Like, we all view things a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And part of it is based on our culture. Part of it's based on our own experience. Part of it's just based on what we've been taught. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we're all like, my thing is like, hey, you're welcome at this table anytime. You can believe like I believe. You don't have to believe like I believe. Like, I don't really care. I'm not trying to like change your mind. I want to hear you. I want to understand where you're coming from. Because I think, as I said earlier, like, there's a lot that we can learn from one another in that mm-hmm. space. And, so that's my hope, is that we can have these conversations with, people who are like us, people who aren't like us.
Yes.
And just get to hear from them and learn from them. And
absolutely.
And let it change our perspective on things too, mm-hmm. possibly. Or if not, it's like, it's just, hey, I just want to hear you. I want to get to know you.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So now, how to wrap this up.
So yeah, I would say also, if you have anyone in your life that has a great story, or you yourself would want to, mm-hmm. you know, share. Are we?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
For sure. This is, hey, we have no, we have no agenda. We have no, no real plan. At least that's my, that's
there may not be
roll.
Another podcast.
This may be the last episode. And I've talked to a couple people. No,
I have some ideas too, but
So when we first started this, actually, I think even when we first started talking about doing this, the initial kind of idea was like,
well, first of all, we have podcast faces.
Yes, that's true.
Faces meant for podcasts.
Yes, that is definitely
not television.
That's definitely true. We're not television people. No, we're definitely podcast people. The initial kind of thought, and I think I would imagine I shared this with you. I think so. When we first talked, it was more.
You weren't as vulnerable in the beginning, Daniel.
No, that's true. Initially, my thought was like, I want to just talk to regular. Yes. Sarah's still having some face problems. Just talk to regular people. You know, so many podcasts, at least the ones that I listen to. I don't know what you're kind of into podcast wise, but I listen to sports stuff. I listen to kind of interviews, typically it's people, maybe not necessarily celebrities, although it could be, but it's oftentimes either a celebrity or kind of a expert in a field, which I think is great. I mean, I'm all for that. But I also think there's room for like just your kind of normal average Joe to like share their, right. share their story. So initially it was like just your everyday people who are doing really incredible things. That was kind of the idea for the podcast. And as we kind of talked and developed it, it turned more into like, let's hear stories. Let's hear your story, kind of what shaped you, how you got to this point in your life and where you're going and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, again, anyone's welcome. Anyone's welcome to the table. If you have something that you think would be, you'd love to share, want to share, think people could really gain insight from, like we want to hear from you. So you can reach out. We'll provide chips, maybe a burrito, if you'd like, but...
are you trying to lure them in?
I'm trying to lure people in with food. That's my way. It doesn't always work, but that sounded really creepy too, actually.
You're luring. No, let's. Okay,
yeah, we'll just stop with the luring.
And all right.
We'll probably
great.
Cut that out too.
Let's wrap.
Let's wrap. But really, we would love for you to reach out to us and let us know your stories. We're derailing fast. it was going so great, hit the brakes off the rails. We'd love to hear your stories. Reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, all that good
stuff.
The gram. And too, we would love for you to subscribe. Rate it. We're on iTunes. No, it's not iTunes. It's Apple Podcasts. iTunes is it's all change. It's all new. But Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Stitcher,
dang.
All that kind
of
good
Daniel
stuff.
Did all of that. I don't even know what he's
I'm
talking
an,
about.
I'm an expert now, but don't mind me. but if you go to those places, give us rating. That really helps. People can find us a little bit easier, and it helps kind of keep us. It helps put food on the table. Let's just, not really. But that
not
sounded
really,
good.
But yeah.
excuse me. And I think I got a chip lodged in my throat.
Oh my gosh.
It's lunchtime. Seriously, though, listen, subscribe, like, share. All that good stuff helps us. And we're excited about some cool things coming up in a few weeks. So keep listening. Keep liking. We love you guys. Have a good one.